Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
This episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is brought to you by RX Benefits. RX Benefits is committed to partnering with you to help your pharmacy benefit clients achieve strategic savings and sustainable success. Together, we can help control costs, improve member care, and enhance satisfaction in the long term. Learn more at rxbenefits.com. And I'm your host, David Saltzman. Joining us on this episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is Whitney Rebelet, Senior Vice President of Account Management at RX Benefits. Welcome, Whitney.
Thanks for having me, David.
A pleasure. We always like to talk a little bit about how do you get to be doing what you're doing? Because for most of us, it's not anything resembling a straight line. How'd you end up doing what you're doing today?
You know, well, great question, David. I think like many people that have found themselves in the pharmacy space that are non-clinicians, we've kind of fallen into this space based on other opportunities that have just come our way. I spent the first part of my career, nearly 10 years, working in Washington, D.C. in the political arena. I worked at the State Department and at the White House for a number of years, setting up media for the president and different cabinet members. I found my way back to my hometown when the time in D.C. ended and learned what a PBM was, took an entry into the space to manage our specialty marketing. Really, my career grew from there. It is a complex and unique space that we all work in the pharmacy space. And if you're a curious person, you are always interested in learning. This is definitely a place that is going to keep you busy and actively involved.
Well, let's jump in with both feet. There's a lot of discussion and a lot of lawsuits around fiduciary responsibility, and a bunch of that's been triggered by different pharmacy chunks, different components of the pharmacy discussion. But pricing transparency is still pretty hard to come by. Is it getting better? What's causing that problem? And where do you see it going?
Yeah, pricing transparency is something that has been talked about for years. It is something that I think everyone in the industry, those of us that are, I would say, a force for good in the industry, are trying to do the best that we can on behalf of our clients and members. Everyone says they have a transparent offering, and I don't think that that's necessarily always the case, but I think you can really define transparency in different ways. I think the desire for transparency is only going to continue growing, but our ability to deliver what that desired transparency is not necessarily being met yet. However, RX Benefits is bringing a new transparent PBM to the marketplace based on the need that we truly see having not been met to date, and think we have a path forward that is going to meet the true transparency definition that many of our plan sponsors are looking for.
Can you give us kind of a very high level overview of what that kind of looks like?
So I think there are really a number of important pillars that transparency that would really define what a transparent model looks like. You need to be providing unprecedented clarity, really making sure that all of our clients have the data they need to make the right choices for their plans and address their unique goals. If that clarity is not provided, decisions might be made, but intent is not being met. Providing formulary and network optionality is absolutely critical to transparency. If people don't have optionality and flexibility, then they don't necessarily know what they don't know. So with the new model that RX Benefits, or the new option that RX Benefits is rolling out, we will always be prioritizing the lowest net costs, no matter if we're talking generics, biosimilars, or otherwise. But really high quality network options are what we're trying to drive towards in terms of the network optionality, and then the lowest net cost in terms of formulary optionality. Flexible plan design is also something that is 100% necessary with full transparency. If you don't have that flexibility I already mentioned, then you really don't know what you might be missing out on. NDC level rebate reporting, that is absolutely a key component to true transparency that is not necessarily being met in the market today. And it's something that RX Benefits is really excited to bring here as we head into the 2026 season.
So if I'm a benefits advisor and I come to you guys and say, hey, I've got this client, we're setting up a self-funded plan, we want to do something really, really smart with pharmacy benefits and that embodies all of the stuff you're talking about, rebate disclosures and pricing and transparency and all that stuff. Do you sit alongside the broker? Do you find yourself attending broker meetings, or are you more in the educating broker's business?
We do both, and either or, depending on how our brokers prefer to partner with us and with the ultimate plan sponsor. Our first pass is always in educating the brokers, so they are sure to understand what it is that we're bringing to the market, and then they can truly understand if that's the right fit in terms of the direction that their clients want to move. We are happy and often very proud to go hand in hand with the broker to sit down and walk through the unique differences with their clients as well. But as I said, we are happy to work through the broker distribution channel or in partnership with them on behalf of the client.
Data has gotten to be a bigger and bigger and bigger deal. And I guess it falls into two baskets, data and then what you do with it, reporting. What's happening in your field with data and reporting? And how does an employer know they're getting clean data that's actionable?
Well, I think the only way you truly know is by having audit rights. However, the data, aggregating data, is obviously a huge, huge industry trend. The ability to provide the right level of reporting that can then back up the transparency that you're providing is obviously critical in any kind of a transparent model. And data is also important in a non-transparent model and more of a traditional model as well. RX Benefits is able to pull our data together and present it to our brokers as well as clients in a way that is easily understandable, but can dive into the detail that they're looking for to be able to validate the value that we're providing, right? We can provide a roll-up summary. Anyone can provide a summary or a spreadsheet that says, this is what we promised, this is what we delivered, but for providing absolutely all of the detail that shows the buildup to that commitment and the delivery is what clients need to be questioning on a daily basis. That is why, as I mentioned before, NDC level rebate reporting is going to be a critical component to any truly transparent model in the market.
Well, and that's the key, isn't it? That's the whole actionable part. It's one thing to get data. It's one thing to assume that it's clean, but if it isn't parsed out in a way that makes it actionable, both for the advisor and for the plan, then it's basically useless. It's just kind of a bunch of numbers on paper, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. No, your data needs to actually say something. What are you going to do with it? What is the so what behind it? And that is also part of what we would bring to the table is not just here's the data, but here's what we're seeing and here's what we recommend any kind of plan design changes that might have a positive impact in the future.
There's been some stuff in the news recently about the amount of dollars that GLP-1s are soaking up. Between that and specialty drugs, how do you advise clients and plans to deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a trend that is not going away. GLP-1s have hit the market very hard in the last couple of years. It's something that RX Benefits recognized over 3 years ago that this was coming, and it certainly had. Our recommendations dating back 3 years and continue to be is the manner in which you are covering different disease states and allowing different classes of drug to help manage those is important. This is where obviously understanding the unique goals of different clients is important and then being able to align their plan design to that. Specialty, right? I mean, it's about 2% of utilization, but makes upwards of 40% of spend in the market. And again, that is something that is going to continue. There's more and more drugs in the pipeline. The biosimilars coming to market are going to help here over time, but it's an interesting shift that we're going to have to stay very close to because it is ultimately something we are seeing right now with rebate credits. Rebate credits are something that I typically like to actually define as rebate decrements or negative credits. It is a good shift that we are seeing in terms of the move to biosimilars. But what that does for the immediate plan year isn't necessarily always realized in a positive financial way to plan sponsors if you are not managing the way in which you are receiving the value from the biosimilars, especially with those in the market that are trying to ensure that they're receiving or maintaining their margins as we move away from the specialty brands.
Let's get a little bit more granular. One of the things we talk about a lot is formulary design and how that drives cost and it drives behavior. What are you guys' thoughts around that? And what are you seeing that's maybe new wrinkles and new ways of thinking?
So formulary design is the most critical and important way to be able to manage plan spend. Obviously, with any formulary design, you want to balance cost savings and the financial impact with member access, right? Obviously, members having access to the medications they need at the right time is really what we're all in the business here to do. But making the decision through the formulary design on ensuring that it is the most cost-effective medication for members to access rather than the most expensive option for members to access. Driving to low-cost generics is definitely something that we would like to see more of in formulary design. The ability for members to start therapy on drugs that work and cost less is definitely what we think is going to provide the most value for plan sponsors as well as their employees in the future. As I said earlier, specialty drug, that pipeline is growing and growing. The 40% might be somewhere upwards and really take over half of plan spend sometime in the future or more, even though it's only about 2% of the population taking these drugs. But managing specialty in a way, now that we have so many biosimilars in market, and getting these members on these lower cost alternatives that are providing the right clinical value is the way that formularies need to be managed in a much more meaningful way than they have been in the past.
Last topic, last question. There's been a lot of discussion about pharmacy network options and maybe helping to drive costs or lower costs that way. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options out there today. Everyone hears a lot about Mark Cuban these days. And understanding the value that that brings to the market as opposed to the more traditional anchor networks that you see is something that we're always interested in and investigating as well. We found to date that when you're looking for the entire medicine basket in terms of what you are trying to achieve in terms of network access, that there's more needed than some of these more boutique offerings that are out there. But providing a more open network is something that we're also seeing in terms of state regulation that's being passed. So there needs to be flexibility in network design to maintain compliance with the regulation we're seeing at a state-by-state level, as well as delivering to members in a way that they have access to the medications they need, and they're not necessarily forced through a mail order, unless that's the option that they want to take.
As of my count this morning, not counting the president's executive order, there are like 9 or 10 states that are messing around or have done something with pharmacy regulation and PBM regulation. Is that a trend that you see continuing? And any idea, you know, where it's going to end up?
I mean, the cost of medication is something that consumers are screaming about, and their state representatives hear them, and their federal representatives hear them as well. State by state, I think we'll continue to see more and more legislation passed. I do think at the federal level, it will take a bit more time. At the state level, one thing though that's interesting is ensuring that the legislation that is passed doesn't have unintended consequences. Some of the legislation that's passed is the intent is always positive, but the unintended consequences are not always thought through. So this is something that we are absolutely staying very close to on a daily basis. We provide kind of ongoing updates to our broker partners in the industry to keep them abreast of what we're hearing, what we think impending and legislation might or might not do at a state-by-state level. And then, of course, once something is passed, being able to react quickly to that. Providing that level of consultation in an environment where you have to react to the legislation is the only way to really stay ahead of some of these that are coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, it's those good intentions that get you all the time. As mom used to say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And
Certainly,
I think there's lots of roads being built right now. That's a great place to end our conversation. Whitney Rebelet, Vice President of Account Management at RX Benefits. Whitney, thanks for a fascinating conversation.
Thanks, David. It was great talking with you.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabip.org.